Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's the 22nd of February. February, as I was spelling, 2021. Okay, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. It's not February, it's February. Everybody spells that wrong when you're a kid. Hey, welcome to today's show. As you know, we're part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACE-ED.org. And you can, all our podcasts are over there. You can see everyone that we've done recently or long-term backwards. And also our magazine is over there, Equity in Access, which is absolutely an excellent magazine. We're the only ones who cover that on a regular basis. And I hope you take a few minutes and go over to ace-ed.org. Everything we do over there is free. If you'd like to join with us as an educator, of course, please do that. It's simple to do, and we'd love to have your voice heard in what we're doing. Again, ace-ed.org. All right. I've got Gene Sharp here. Gene is the Chief Academic Officer over at Apex Learning. We're going to learn about Apex and the digital stuff that they do, and they have new things for SEL. I believe they're new. Okay, and she talks about equity, et cetera. So, Gene, I'm Larry, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Larry. How are you? Thank you for having me today.
It is my pleasure, Gene. Indeed. Are you in Minneapolis? I see a 612 area code.
I am.
There you go. How's the weather?
The weather is wintry, although
wintry.
Snow on the ground, but blue sky. So we'll take the sunshine.
Yes, exactly. I live in Maine. I'm used to winter weather. Believe me, I know that. Okay, the company's in Seattle, right? Am I correct?
They are.
Apex Learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you ever
that
get out
correct.
There these days? Yeah. No fun anymore. You can't fly back and forth.
Yeah. It has been a while. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal out there with the pandemic, and it's brutal for the schools, too. It's nice to have you here, Gene. Gene, you're the Chief Academic Officer. Why don't you – I'll let you do two things. Tell us about Apex, okay, the company just generally, and then just give everybody a feel for your background.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to do that.
Sure.
So first of all, Apex Learning is an educational software publishing company. We create digital content for the middle school and high school market and have been doing that for many, many years. So we actually have a number of solutions, both in terms of courses, comprehensive courses that students can take for initial credit or credit recovery, along with digital content that can be used for tutorials and a virtual learning school called Apex Learning Virtual School.
When you say Apex Learning Virtual School, what grades does that apply to? That's interesting.
That's a middle and high school solution, and it is accredited by Advanced Ed.
Oh, cool. And actually, that brings up an interesting question. How long Apex is a digital curriculum company. Am I correct?
That's
the way
correct.
We can say it. So how long have they been around? Because obviously digital curriculum, okay, is more important now than ever with the pandemic and all that sort of thing. How long has Apex been around doing digital?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been doing digital for over 20 years. In fact, the company was originally started by Paul Allen many, many years ago.
Of Microsoft? Is that Paul Allen?
That's correct.
Wow. I'll be doing that's very interesting. Okay, and how long have you been with them?
I have been with the company nearly 10 years.
Wow, congratulations. That's a good run, I got to tell you. All right, that's pretty good. All right, I hope that continues for another 50, for goodness sakes. All right, I was over at your website, all right, which I thought was pretty interesting. It's apexlearning.com, all right? And if you go over there, it talks about the various courses that you guys have, and I went through a few of them, okay? But the one that struck me, and you have social-emotional learning now, all right? And I wanted to ask you, as I looked through the courses, like some of them were 3D animation, that sort of stuff. Where do they fit in, okay, into a school? How are schools using the courses?
That's a great question, Larry, and there's such a variety of ways that schools use our content. You know, certainly we have an offering in our national catalog that mirrors what students need to take to earn credit towards high school graduation. So we can answer and address all of the core academic courses that students need to graduate from high school. In addition to that, we have a suite of elective courses that they can take that really focus in on their interests. So they may be career and technology education courses or elective courses in certain subject areas and so forth to really round out their high school career and give them experience in different areas. I think what you're referring to, though, is actually our technology courses, which are project-based courses that teach students about coding, animation, and design.
Exactly. Yeah. That was what I was talking about. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
That was
yes.
Exactly what I was talking about. I looked up, actually, I was looking at one on animation. So who would, and I'm asking this because I'm not, you know, currently teaching, who would teach this course? How does it, and I'm quite serious when I ask this, how does it work within a school? Does a technology teacher get this in, or where, and I'm really serious, where does it fit in with the teacher and that sort of thing? Just walk me through, I'm curious.
Sure, absolutely. We have seen tremendous interest in the technology courses as teachers really look for ways that they can prepare their students for future career opportunities. So they're actually doing work with standards tools that industry professionals would use, and they're project-based, so they're going to come out of it with an actual project that they can share as well. So from a teacher perspective, there's a couple of ways that this often works. Sometimes it is a teacher that is particularly interested in electives and technology in particular, and will drive that particular course in the school itself as an extracurricular activity or as an elective within the school day. But we also embed a lot of support within the course itself, and there is some online support that students can get from professionals within the context of the course itself.
It's pretty cool. And, you know, aside from all this, and I want to get into this a little bit with you, you're also looking, and I don't know how new this is. I get the feeling it is fairly new, but about social-emotional. Talk to me about how that works with your courses. Again, apexlearning.com. Good.
Yes, absolutely. So this is such an important issue for us right now.
It is.
We know that schools need to move beyond a focus on just academic achievement alone to one that really promotes the health and well-being of all of our children. And without a doubt, Larry, this past year has been a challenge for our kids. They've experienced isolation and loneliness and anxiety and depression and even trauma. And we know that many of our students have disengaged with learning and even, now, quite frankly, lost hope in their future. We have always felt that social-emotional learning is a critical factor in academic learning. And, you know, quite frankly, some of my background is work in dropout recovery and dropout prevention. And we knew very clearly that students didn't care how much you knew until they knew how much you cared. So at Apex, and this has been about a year ago now, we partnered with Suite 360, which is a company that offers a K-12 SEL curriculum that supports both character development, behavioral intervention, and restorative practices, and mental health and well-being for students.
Anyway, and do you tie the two together? I mean, I guess maybe let me ask the question a different way, okay? And I don't know if this is accurate, but because I'm just learning about your company, I did check the website and all that sort of thing. Do you see yourselves as a technology education company? I know you're digital, okay, but teaching more in the technology field. Again, you mentioned Paul Allen, which I was impressed with, okay. Or do you see yourselves more as generic? I'm just trying to get a good picture of the company. Is that a good question?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. So we are a curriculum company that provides content solutions delivered via technology. How's that?
Well, I know that. I know that. And I know, but you have technology courses. Okay?
We do.
You
that's
actually
part,
teach technology. Okay? Do you also have the normal course, History 101, American History 1?
Absolutely. We have everything that a student would need to create, to complete their high school diploma.
Great. Okay. And then now you've added a social-emotional component to this.
Correct. And that's so important right now because
it is.
As we watch what's happening to our students in in these shutdowns and in this time away from school itself, we know that they're very vulnerable at this point. And so our focus is really focusing on the needs of the whole child and really making sure that we set them up for success, that they feel supported in their environment. So schools are actually using social emotional learning, Suite 360 in particular, in different ways. Some are using it as a course or an elective course that they walk students through, and students receive credit for it, but it really does equip them with the skills and competencies they need to be able to deal with some of the challenges they're currently facing. Other districts infuse SEL into their daily curriculum. So they may teach a lesson on persistence or perseverance or resiliency in every single course that the student is taking. So they're going to really put a focus on those skills that are absolutely essential for students to build their resiliency and really have the skills that they need to be equipped for learning.
And, you know, Jean, it's interesting, but this past year, and literally it's coming up on a year, okay, March 13th is when all the schools closed down. We're at February 22nd. That's hard to believe as I say that, but it is, in fact, true, okay? But you guys were always a digital curriculum, okay? And you know it supports in-class and hybrid and virtual, but you always were a digital curriculum, correct?
Yes, we are a digital native curriculum. We don't have print materials per se.
Exactly.
We deliver everything digitally.
Exactly. So, and last year, when everything fell apart, everybody had to go to remote learning, kind of speaking generically there. Okay, what happened? Okay, how did you guys look at that at Apex Learning? I mean, here you are sitting with a lot of digital curriculum, and that's what the world needed. Okay, but over the course of the year, teaching changed, okay, and the needs of the kids changed. I know you added the SEL, which I think is wonderful. What else, how else did it affect the curriculum that you guys put together, the whole pandemic thing? I'm curious.
That's a great question. Certainly one of the things to know is that because we are digital in terms of what we do, and we've always been digital, we continue to do what we've always done best, and that means providing high-quality solutions that meet the needs of middle and high school students. So when schools made that transition to online learning at scale, where everybody was now doing online learning, we focused with great intentionality on what schools needed at that time. So we looked at it this way, Larry. One of the things that we knew is that schools and districts needed a high-quality digital partner to help them carry the load. They certainly couldn't develop all the content themselves, nor could they do everything in synchronous models online. And so as a recognized leader in the industry, Apex Learning really brought deep expertise in that design and development of digital curriculum that was already proven to meet the needs of schools. We also knew that schools needed trusted partners who were customer-focused and understood the critical business of education, whether learning happens, quite frankly, in person, in a hybrid model, or fully remote. And we have a strong reputation at Apex Learning of coming alongside our district partners to plan, to support, and to drive successful implementations with fidelity. And finally, I think the other thing that comes to mind for me is that schools and districts needed confidence that they could demonstrate results.
Yes.
And Apex has, again, a strong reputation of efficacy results that prove, that are really proven to engage and support student learning and increase learning outcomes for students.
Now, it's really, it's such an interesting time, and you were there prior, to all the pandemic. You've been doing this, as you said, for a long time. Then all of a sudden, boom, the whole world is looking at digital, and bang, you're right there, okay? And you know, you also have the credit recovery stuff, which I think is going to be even more needed coming up in the future. You were saying how kids, in many cases, have become disengaged. And on that note, and Gene, you've been I know you're a young person, okay? But with your years of experience, okay, as you look at the future of education, all right, what do you see coming down the pike? I mean, schools are going to go back in session probably, you know, in the fall. Let's just hope that anyway. Okay, in some form or other. What do you see coming down the pike? In terms of what you guys do, it's interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we know that our students today are learning very differently than they did a year ago, and we know that that's likely going to impact how they learn in the future. But I think we have to be fully engaged in the challenging work of moving education forward and finding ways to best serve the needs of the students that we serve and their families. So there's a couple of things, Larry, that the pandemic has brought to light, right? And it's imperative that we find ways to address them. One of them we just talked about, social and emotional learning, but we also see critical needs emerging as it relates to student engagement and as it relates to equity. As we look even further ahead, as I look ahead at what a school has to do to change, to really meet the needs of the population that they're serving, one of the things we have to consider is choice. So despite the criticism, some families and students actually found virtual learning to be very effective their students.
That's right.
But we need to be well planned and execute programs that fulfill that promise to give students more control over their time, pace, path, and place of learning. So
I like that.
Districts really need to consider how to provide those learning options that meet the needs of students and their families, or quite frankly, risk the reality that that parents will choose to enroll their children in programs that excel at this model, which will negatively impact enrollment and funding for public schools.
That's a very interesting point. Okay, I agree with you. There is change coming down the way. All right, and people now have seen the difference. Okay, some people are going to go back to the way it was. Okay, but you said it, a lot of people are not, all right? And if the school districts don't see that and make a change as to what's needed, they're going to lose population. When they lose population, they lose money, okay, because of tax dollars and the way it's all.
That is absolutely
correct. You know, the whole scale drops, okay? I hate to say this because this pandemic stinks, and everybody knows that, and we're coming up to 500,000 people that have died. So I don't want to make when the good Lord gives you lemons, you make lemonade, as the old saw goes. All right,
exactly.
And boy, we got plenty of lemons with this pandemic, but there's hope for the future with the lemonade. Okay, if we can make the changes, and actually that brings up an interesting question to you. You're the chief academic officer. As you talk to people and you develop your courses for the future, okay, what do you see happening with that from your company into the future? That's interesting. I like that question.
It is interesting, isn't it?
It is a good question.
Yeah. Larry, we absolutely.
And by the way, let me just say, it's hard to change a company, okay?
It is hard to change
a school district. I get that. But I'm just curious. You just said we have to make these changes. So what does a company like Apex do to help make those changes? That's what I'm saying.
So the really great thing is we've been doing a lot of this for many, many years in a way that meets individual needs of learners. And so that's actually what my focus is how can schools use curriculum in order to personalize and individualize the learning pathway for students? Because we know that that many students are going to come back to school in the fall at varying levels of academic readiness.
Oh, yeah.
And yet still have to demonstrate competence in grade level expectations. So one of our jobs is to find out how we can quickly and efficiently help students recover from learning loss in a way that gets them to grade level expectations and beyond. So I think it's very important that we look at ways that we can quickly assess and prescribe individual learning pathways for students in order to ensure that they're working on what is relevant to them, that they progress towards those grade level expectations or accelerate beyond them if they're ready, and make the learning relevant to the students that we're serving. We really need to think more in terms of competencies that students are building over a period of time to allow them to progress toward learning success.
You're absolutely right. I love what you said about individualization and the individualization and understanding that every kid, this is a good point, they're going to come back at different places, okay? And it's the old saw, which we're so interested in here with our consortium on equity, is equity, okay? You got to give every kid what they in particular need, all right? And so let me ask this. This is I'm loving this conversation. So when you have your course, and I know you have one, I pick one, 3D animation, okay? I'm just picking that one out of the clear blue sky. So when you look at that, okay, do you change the course? How do you make that course relevant to all kids, or do you just add other courses? And I'm just really curious how you would operate like that.
Yeah, so 3D animation is an interesting example because I'll be candid with you. That's an elective course.
I thought it was cool, so I figured I'd bring it up.
Right? Absolutely. That's an elective course. But there is a huge difference between what I have to take in high school in order to get a high school diploma and what I choose to take in high school because I'm interested in that. So think about Algebra 1. Every student in the nation, every high school student in the nation has to take Algebra 1, whether they want to or not, right? And so that is, when we think about a course that students are required to take, sometimes that can be harder because they're not intrinsically motivated for doing algebra, for learning that algebra.
Yeah.
And the difference between a 3D animation course is kids are choosing that. And so there's an intrinsic motivation that happens with that course that keeps them engaged and progressing and really excited about what they're learning as well. So the challenge becomes how do we make core content have that same level of engagement? And part of that, as a publisher, we are, of course, bound to the national and state standards that students must learn. So we have to demonstrate that the content covers what students need to know and do. We have a philosophy of presenting the instruction in ways that are pedagogically sound and that provide students with access to the content in a way that provides them with support or scaffolding as they need to access it. So it's grade level content with a lot of accessible content built around that they can access as they need to. And we have a philosophy of active learning, learning by doing. So it's not static text on the page. It is loaded with interactives and questions and different media components and so forth that allow students to engage in the learning in deep ways. And then we build in checks for understanding within our content so that we can check to see how students are understanding the skills and concepts that have been presented throughout the instruction rather than waiting until the end of the unit to find out they didn't get it. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a very intentional design approach.
Welcome to my world
on our
when I was
end.
A kid. Yeah. they couldn't figure out all along that I wasn't getting this. I could tell you stories about that with math. That was unbelievable. My favorite story, just real quick, is that in high school, I had a math teacher. Oddly, I had the same math teacher all 3 years in this giant Philadelphia high school. But every week he would give a test based on what he, quote, had taught that week. Okay, and every week, 90% of the class, we were academic kids, you know, going to college. 90% of the kids would get a 40 or 30 in the test out of 100. Okay, so he would mark it on a curve. He would mark it on a curve so that we were passing, and then he'd go on to the next chapter as though we had learned the previous chapter, which we never did.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
All he kept doing was digging us further and further into a hole. Okay.
Right. This is why I get so excited, Larry, about individualized learning and competency-based learning, because it absolutely allows students to take the time that they need to master the content
that
is foundational to go to the next level.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree with you more, Gene. I have a question. And, you know, your courses, and I have it, do I have it open here? Yeah, the technology courses, which I love. And this whole thing, will it open here? It's slow, my computer today. Sorry, here we go. Okay, 3D animation. Hold on, wait a minute, let me get these here. 3D animation, character animation, game design, printing and modeling, fashion design. I love this. What's mod design? Is that like to go back to 1960 to the Beatles or what?
Modular design.
Yeah. Oh, modular design. Thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Adventure map. You know, and I have a question which it just strikes me as I'm talking to you. All right. I've been seeing all these things lately that we are really, really in this country very short of plumbers and electricians, tradespeople, okay? Smart people, as a matter of fact. Do jobs that I certainly couldn't do or do well, all right? And as you see a company like yours, as you see a need, okay, for, and I'm going to use plumbers, electricians, carpenters, that sort of thing, is there any look at creating what we call CTE courses for that area as opposed to the high-tech courses? I'm just curious.
Yeah, absolutely we look at that. We look at jobs in certain areas. We look at the career clusters for the CTE career clusters that look at or appear to have the highest market potential going forward.
That's
so
good.
Absolutely. And you'll see CTE courses in our course catalog as well. So we have CTE courses in IT, in health services, in business, and so forth, already in our catalog, and are continuing to add more as well. It really speaks to another thing that, quite candidly, I think is really important for us as an education community to zero in on as we think about pushing education forward and what we do for the future. We have got to commit to preparing these students, our students, for a world that is constantly changing, and that means
Thank
to be
you.
Future ready. To ensure that they have
here,
those
here.
Resiliency skills, but also the competencies to manage through change and to be prepared for future-ready careers.
Hear, hear. And you know what you're doing? Having social-emotional learning intertwined with, be it CTE or computer courses or whatever you high-tech courses, whatever you want to call it, okay, is extremely important. Because the world may change, but the ability to get along with people and understand how to get along with people, what they call soft skills, it doesn't change, okay?
Exactly.
And if we can take the two and make it work and look at what's needed out there, you know, our goal is to make these kids to have that, make them have a nice living. The reason I'm asking this is I'm probably going to need a plumber sometime, and I really can't find one, you know? I need you.
Exactly. No, I agree with you completely. We have to prepare these students for the jobs that will be there in the future. And because we know that jobs will change a lot in the future, and many of the jobs that we can envision these students, you know, having aren't even invented yet, right?
Yeah,
so we
right.
have to prepare them with the skills to be resilient, to change,
Bingo.
To learn, to constantly learn new things.
That's how the SEL all fits in. Gene, this is terrific, okay? I love talking to you. I'll get in touch with you. We'll set up some work here. Does that sound good? Did you enjoy yourself?
Absolutely.
Is that fun? Right. This is really
yes,
fun. You
absolutely.
Guys have good stuff. And it's really neat the way you're looking at it, okay, and understanding it. And you're all set. Are you all set, ready? Now that we're into spring, what's going on? I'll ask you the silly question. How's business? Okay, what's going on out there? These days.
Business is good, and schools
yep,
are aggressively looking at their plans for summer as well as
yep.
their plans for fall. You know, I think that we still are feeling a bit uncertain about what the rest of the spring will look like. There's certainly every effort to get kids back to school where it makes sense, but there's still some uncertainty around that. What we're really looking at is what will summer school look like, or accelerated learning look like in summer school, or boot camps that just get kids back to school with high interest
exactly.
topics that they're interested in learning, and so forth. And
you
then
know,
how
you bring
do
up
we
an
begin
interesting
to step
point.
Into the fall?
Yeah, and then the interesting point is, do we really need a summer quote a summer vacation this year? Okay, I don't think a lot of the kids are going to go home to harvest. I think that's probably not going to happen this year. And because we are in virtual learning, okay, kids can moderate the amount of time. But if they're kept busy and engaged over the summer with learning, see, this is one of the things we can pop out of this pandemic. They would be far more ready to go back in the fall, okay, instead of just letting them go and closing down the buildings. Well, we learned we can do this, quote, without the building. Okay, for a while anyway. You know, it's just, there's like you said, there's a whole sea change coming. Yeah, and if we go back to the same old system, we deserve the end result. That's going to happen.
Well, and I think you would agree, Larry. You know, certainly what we've seen is the pandemic has caused a significant disruptive change in education. But disruptive change can actually lead us towards innovation about the way we
Bingo.
Think about things.
Exactly.
And I think that's exactly where we need to be, is
exactly.
what are we learning from this? that we can start to foster and grow. And what are the things that we see that maybe there isn't a solution yet, but we know we have to find one?
There sure is. And you guys are good. This is really interesting. I'm going to get in touch with you, Gene. We'll talk some more. Is that okay?
I would love to do that. Yes, absolutely.
I would love it too. So you'll hear from me. And I thank you so much, everybody. This is Gene Sharp, everybody, who's the director, the chief academic officer at apexlearning.com. Thanks, Gene. This is great. Thanks,
Larry. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. And I forgot to say, stay warm. All right? I'm in Maine. She's in Minnesota. It's those M states you got to watch out for. All right? It's wintertime. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. Our Consortium for Equity. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Gene Sharp, thanks a million. That was just great. And a shout-out as well to my friend Lisa Hill, who helped me set up the show. Thanks for listening.